All right, and this is the post-game show for NLCS game number 5, a game in which the Cubs won 8-4. Is that what it ended up being? I think it was. Things got a little bit goofy there in the bottom of the ninth, but the Cubs came away with the win 8-4. And I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I'm joined tonight by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hi there, guys. It's Andy.
And Kurt.
Hey, Kurt, I have a question for you before we get started. Did you think that we had a good episode last night? Did you think it was a good one?
Amazing. Probably one of the best we've ever done.
Well, that's because Andy was wearing my underwear last night.
Yes.
All right. So,
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
That does it. Thanks, Patreon people. And
this is kind of funny. This is a nice little tie into this, but you guys remember Alan that we met at the G-Man.
Yeah.
He's going Saturday, and he's super excited about the clinch game he's going to see. And he said he would soil his trousers if he saw it happen. And so.
And you know what?
I told him. He asked if we were going. I said, no, we're not going, but I hope you bleep your
soil pants. Yourself. Yeah. And you know what? Like, I think that the story of Alan is an amazing story. And we keep forgetting to mention it on the podcast. Kurt, do you want to briefly mention how you met Alan?
Yeah. Well, it involves, peeing. And so I just went to the bathroom. The G-Man has like a pretty tiny bathroom. There's just two urinals there. And I just kind of walked in.
So this was for game one.
We're like,
game one of the NLCS.
we were shoulder
Everybody
to shoulder.
Turns in after one of the biggest playoff wins in our lifetime. We're talking about urinals.
Yeah. But I made some stupid, comment about being cozy in there. And he looks and says, wait, you're Ivy Envy. And I was like, yeah.
Where was he looking when he said that?
I would recognize it anywhere.
So that started a great conversation we had, and now we've been texting back and forth for this series, and it's been fun.
Oh man, that guy has charisma, and energy.
Yeah, he's got that Irish charm.
He does. He does. So yeah, let's talk about this game. Hey guys, can we talk about Javi for a second?
Oh man!
Oh my lord, Javi Baez, beautiful.
Wow. Well, okay. Yeah, first of all, that barehanded play to first was ridiculous.
Did you guys?
I mean, but we've been seeing it all season. I feel like I've gotten a little desensitized to it, but that one in particular just got me all worked up and hot and bothered.
Well, okay. Even if you're like desensitized to it, you never see. Like on StatCast, first step, -3.33 seconds.
Yeah. He's already halfway there.
Oh, my gosh. He's so amazing. And, I think it's so exciting that, I don't even need to say it because I say it every freaking episode. But
can you repeat what it was that you texted to us that Dave Cameron said about Javi Baez?
Oh, yeah. So if you listen to, it was a Fangraphs podcast episode, and it was, I don't know, maybe a week ago or something in that time frame. And they were talking about how good Javi Baez was. I think they were talking about him in the Giants series. And Dave Cameron was talking about his defense and said he's either a defensive outlier or he's an alien.
Both.
I love that.
I think he's proving he's an alien.
Oh my gosh, he is just amazing. And
and by the way, yeah, it's like play incredible defense and then go 3 for 5 and
right with 3 RBIs,
hit one ball like about 400 miles an hour.
Yeah,
man, ball he lined down the left
into
field
the
line that hit the base of the wall.
Yeah, if that had any elevation at all, it's. Well,
it's gone, yeah. And then the 3-run double also the opposite way. I mean, yeah, dude's just getting it done.
Even in his outs are hard hit outs. I mean, think back to game 2 when he hit that line drive that what, 60 some percent of balls hit that at that rate or at that speed. And I think launch angle are home runs. And so, I mean, he's just, even his outs are hit hard. He's hitting against righties and lefties. Man, it's just, it's beautiful. Did you guys get worried there when he kind of came up limping?
Yeah. By the way he limped, I did.
I did at first, but then I, you know, it's pretty hot. It's been a long game, maybe a little bit of dehydration going on. And so I was really hoping for a cramp there. And I think that's what it ended up being, right?
It looked like it,
but I didn't hear anything.
I think it's kind of funny because, like, have you guys picked up on the fact that Baez is kind of like Kobe Bryant in that almost every play he's like kind of wincing. And, you know, like, I don't know if it's just like kind of like a dramatic thing, but
he should have played soccer.
Right.
He's a little bit affected. Yeah, he's very emotive, I would say. Just
and I kind of get a kick out of that, except for like when it actually does look like an injury, like tonight did at first. And I think like once they showed it, the replay where it showed him rounding second and coming back, you could tell he was putting weight on that and everything was fine. Yeah. But when they just cut away,
he gave a little hand sign into the dugout, like, yeah, it's okay. I just, you know,
mm-hmm. Right.
That made me feel a little better.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's been a constant throughout the playoffs for the Cubs, and that's gotten him moved up in the order. And we've really been able to count on him, when other people weren't doing anything. But how about all the hand-wringing over Addison Russell and Rizzo and those guys just really getting it done the past couple of games? Like, Rizzo got it started tonight with the RBI double. And by the way, I think the Cubs hit, what, like 5 or 6 extra base hits tonight. So that was pretty awesome. But Rizzo got the scoring started. And I got a little bit worried when they weren't able to get any more runs there that Maeda was going to kind of settle in, because it seemed like they really had him rattled. And so then later on, Russell hits that big 2-run Jackson. I was loving it, man.
Yeah, but I mean, that came after Maeda was gone, because I'm with you, Andy. Like, I just saw a lot of wasted opportunities, especially there in the first. And it was like partially I was a little bit frustrated with the offense, partially like, I mean, like the Baez strikeout, that was a crap call. I mean, that was not a strike. And I kind of felt like they had Maeda on the ropes immediately in the first, and it's like, oh my gosh, they're just going to pile on. And I felt like once he was able to get out of that inning, then he was able to get into a groove. But the key was, and just like we've seen them do, all season long, was just drive the pitcher out early and then rough up the bullpen. And I think, you know, not to jump ahead to the end of our discussion, but I think if they can do that on Saturday night, if they can somehow get Kershaw out of there, this Dodgers bullpen is crap. I mean, the Cubs will just beat up on them. Put Blanton back in there, please. And even, Pedro Baez. But, I mean, there is nobody in that other than probably Kenley Jansen. He's probably the only one that would concern me. But if they could, and maybe with, all the pitches that he's thrown, Kershaw's thrown, maybe that, you know, who knows, maybe that can contribute to it. I think if he's grooving, I think he's going to go as deep into the game as he can. And I don't think they'll pay too much attention to the pitch count. So it's more like, I think the Cubs need to actually knock him out of the game, which is not an easy thing to do. And it's going to be cold, and so the ball's not going to be flying as much probably. And so they're going to just need to like string stuff together and generate runs, which is not an easy thing to do, but I didn't mean to bring up game 6 already, but
it's cool though, because we've been seeing them do that a little bit. I mean, they got how many bats had to die for that one inning?
Yeah,
it seems like there were a ton of shattered bats tonight. Yeah. But yeah, they really kind of manufactured runs on a lot of swinging shattered bat bunts and things like that. They've shown the ability to get it done in multiple ways, so maybe that can happen on Saturday.
Yeah,
yeah, and I'm way more confident going into a Kershaw start with a team that scored 18 runs in the past two games than I was with the struggling offense that we had been seeing and was really making all of us pretty frustrated. So, you know, not taking anything away from Kershaw and how good he is, but at least I think they could chip away, get a couple hits here and there, put some pressure on him that they were not able to do early in the first time they saw him. There was just no pressure.
Yeah.
So, well, I feel better about it this time around than I did last.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm looking at the box score right here. The Cubs had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players with multiple hits. They drew 4 walks as a team. I mean, they got it done tonight, just like they did last night. And granted, a lot of it comes in certain innings. It's not necessarily spread out, you know, throughout the game. Although it seemed like they were getting on base. They just couldn't really do much in some of those innings. But man, when they start piling on, like, I mean, look at in the sixth inning, you know, that was when Baez hit the double, then Russell hit the home run, and then Ross hit a double. And so it was just, when they get locked in as a team, it doesn't really matter what part of the order they're in,
right?
As long as Jason Hayward isn't in that part of the order.
It was inconsequential, but he was frustrating. I mean,
he was brutal.
The 12-foot pop out and but we've beat that dead horse. We know what he is offensively, and there's nothing we're going to say that's going to change it or make it better. But as long as they keep scoring runs, that you can keep him in there for his defense, but hopefully he doesn't become a liability.
Well, and I think I think he should be out of the lineup for the next two games.
Yeah,
against Kershaw and Hill, if it even gets to Hill. I don't see a reason to put him in there. I didn't mind him being in there tonight against Maeda, against a righty that's really not that great. But he still just looks terrible. And I mean, he is bad. It was just bad.
He was. And And picking on him now, I have no doubt he'll turn it around at some point as a Cub. I don't know if it'll be this postseason, but but thankfully they have so much production from the rest of the lineup.
Sure.
It didn't matter tonight.
Well, I feel a little bit like it's somewhat justified to say in a game like Saturday night, game 6, there's really no reason for him to be in the lineup. I wasn't in favor of benching him during the season because the division was never in doubt, really. And I think that, kind of like what we've been saying these last few episodes about how when it's a playoff, like that's where the small sample sizes happen. That's where like you can kind of ignore you guys know what I'm trying to say here. Help me out here. I got a little distracted looking at the chat. I guess what I'm trying to say is that like in the season you leave them in there. But now in these situations where it's all about the win, he's not helping you get that win. And good defense is important, I think, over like a longer period of time. In an individual game where you basically know he's going to go 0-for-4, there's no reason to have him in there.
Yeah.
I mean, Al Mora at least gives you a bat with some contact. And I wouldn't argue that he's a whole lot better offensively, but he doesn't give up a lot defensively. And he can maybe put the ball in play where Hayward just is barely doing that. So.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate. I mean, it's a bummer, but
yeah. But okay, let's go back to the positive stuff.
Right. Yes, thank you.
John Lester.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, 7 innings, 5 hits, 1 run. And you could tell he didn't have his best stuff, but he was still really, really good.
Well, you know what? I think he was kind of battling a pretty tight strike zone.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't think the strike zone was, I don't think it was terrible, but it, like he wasn't giving a lot that Lester would frequently gets with other umps.
Mm-hmm.
So you got
to
give him
the outside, like the outside strike to a righty. Like he was not getting that call.
Yeah, exactly. And so you really got to give him credit for working through that and battling through it. And he managed pretty well to keep his cool on all that, and he just kept working. and it was ended up being a fantastic performance. And I really liked the way that the fact that we had him tonight on the mound, and then we have Hendricks and then Jake, you know, if necessary for game seven. So it's working out pretty well.
Yeah. I thought he looked great, and you could tell at different points he was having to labor a little bit more, and he just muscled through it. I mean, that was a veteran performance right there. At all times he looked like someone that had was cool under pressure. You know, I mean, the Dodgers,
they're dancing around there on the base pass.
Freaking steal a base. What are you doing? Like, just go. It made no sense. And then, like, but with them, like, literally dancing out there, it didn't seem like he lost control. It seemed like he was focused on the batter, and he just got the outs. And, I mean, his, you know, he's been incredible all season with runners on base, and especially runners in scoring position. I mean, he just, like, buckles down and gets it done. And he looked great tonight, and it seemed like them dancing around over there just left him more determined.
And yeah, he looked more fired up than he usually gets in a start.
Yeah, I cannot figure out why they weren't stealing bases. I mean,
well, there's a one point, I don't know if, I think it was maybe Peterson, but like he's just in a full like sprinter stance practically, yeah. Facing second, and like. Go. If you're going to go.
Yeah.
Coach hands him starting blocks.
Yeah. I mean, Lester was just plain ignoring him. It didn't bother him at all. It's like, well, you guys aren't going to go, so why would I throw anyways?
Yeah, I really wanted to see him just, like, throw over there. Just catch him off guard. And, it, like, even if, you know, like when he fielded that ball and had to bounce it over to Rizzo, man, bounce a throw to, if he would have bounced a throw to Rizzo, I think they would have nabbed him.
Yeah, bounce pass, man. Let's do it. Yeah, he's saving that for the World Series. Like, all of a sudden, he'll just have a killer throw to first that just nails somebody.
Or like, or see him, like, just drop the ball and then, like, hacky sack it over to Rizzo.
The leads are so big, it's like he might beat him in a sprint.
I know. I thought about that. Like, just start running towards him and then throw it underhand like he does. Does, you know,
running. No. That'd be hilarious.
No, here's what he does.
What if you did that throw where you hold it with your hand and then you hit it with your bicep? Like, you drop it and then hit it with your bicep to Rizzo.
It's a perfect strike, about 70 miles an hour.
No, except here's what I think he should do. He should stand on the rubber, shove the ball into the webbing of his glove so it's stuck, and then start running and then just toss his glove over.
There you go.
But
all right, well, I hope he's listening, and we gave him a lot of great ideas.
But it just didn't matter, and it seemed like the Dodgers really wasted some opportunities, because I mean, at that point it's just a base hit and you got a run in there. It seemed really weird. And but I love the fact that it doesn't matter who's on, where they're on, what they're doing, how they're dancing. He just focuses on the batter, and that's all that matters. And he just you know, really bears down and gets them out, and it's pretty amazing.
And it's done absolutely nothing to keep him from being an effective pitcher.
Right.
And you got to give Ross some credit for that. You go on Twitter or wherever tonight, you're still going to find people talking crap about it. But when it boils down to it, it hasn't hurt his pitching, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really have a whole lot more to say. I'm kind of looking through some notes here. Go ahead, Andy. I do have something, but go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I like that little moment where Rizzo was fielding just a weak little pop up to first, and Baez was kind of like right next to his face. Yes. I don't know what it's kind of a weird situation to be playing around, you know, but as soon as Rizzo caught it, he like flipped the ball right into his belly, like right into Baez's stomach, and it bounced off. I meant to rewind it and make a gif out of it, but I forgot to do it.
See, I loved that, because it's like, it just kind of is a sign of how loose this team really is, and how, you know, like Madden's been saying all along, don't let the pressure exceed the pleasure. And it looked again tonight like they were having fun out there. And it's amazing to see, like, 20, you know, guys in their, you know, like Baez in his early 20s in the NLCS, game five of the NLCS, and he's kind of like goofing around. I'm sure it rubbed some people the wrong way, but I got a kick out of it.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people in the chat have brought up, or several people, Donnie most recently, all the Respect 90 going on tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yep. A lot of overturned calls, and or at least more than normal.
Yeah. One thing, since you brought up Rizzo fielding, he really didn't have a great game in the field. You know,
that one hop was crazy, though, on the replay. Did you see the English on that ball?
Oh, yeah, but I think you kind of, like, you let Baez cover that entire side of the field. You know, like, I mean, I really think Baez could have got over to it because Baez was playing pretty deep. I think he could have got there. So, I mean.
They put an invisible fence collar on him, like, so he can only go past a certain point. Like, it zaps him. He goes too far into Baez's territory. Well,
and it didn't hurt them, and I'm not like picking on Rizzo, and I guess what the reason I bring it up, it was just kind of surprising because he normally looks so good out there and so smooth. But I will say on that throw where Baez fielded the bunt from shallow right field, I thought that was an incredible catch by Rizzo over there, because the throw kind of pulled him off a little bit, and Rizzo was kind of like turning his body and falling away as he caught it, and I thought that was really impressive. I mean, I thought I thought that Baez's, you know, performance in that play kind of overshadowed how good of a play it was for Rizzo too.
It's a good point. And I mean the defense over there frequently makes us not pay enough attention to Rizzo's end of things, where he's made really good plays to complete the out. How about, I wanted to mention too, Rizzo's beating the shift via the bunt. I love that. Oh, yeah, I mean, I'd like to see that more often, just from the Cubs who get shifted on.
Yeah. But I think overall, you know, my takeaway from the game is that it was great. The Cubs played their game. Like I said, they pushed the starter out early and really, you know, stuck it to the bullpen. But in doing that, I mean, they did it by putting pressure on those bullpen arms and the defense. I mean, especially there in the eighth inning. I mean, with the Fowler and Bryant infield singles, I mean, they put so much pressure in that Adrian Gonzalez kind of, you know, out there in no man's land, really nothing. I mean, in a way, it was kind of a brain fart, but it was also like he had nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of, I guess, overall, that was my takeaway from the game. Like, the Cubs really put a lot of pressure on the Dodgers, and just they played their game, and it was great to see.
What if the next game Caesar comes into the dugout just naked?
he's got a jersey on, but no pants, no underwear.
Like, all of his gear is being used by other players. He's just freaking naked.
Well, you know that they're probably going to do something funny. You know, I mean, like, this, with as loose as this team is, you know, they're going to probably have fun with it in some way. But
yeah, and I feel like they're not being, I think it's more just like, they're having a good time with it. It right. doesn't seem like really a superstitious
right.
thing to me.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Speaking of superstitious, though, the Kurt's wearing the same shirt two nights in a row.
That's right.
Because they came through last night and
picked it up off the bed and put it right back on.
Well, I'll be honest, right before we started recording, I changed my sweatshirt because I was wearing the same sweatshirt I wore last night. And I was like, I can't go on two nights in a row wearing the same sweatshirt. So,
sure you can. I did shower in between putting the shirt back on. But
you sweat a lot during these games. I mean, even blowouts, you know.
I will say, I was going to bring it up to you at this point. This is probably one of the calmest I've been, even when it was pretty high pressure. You know, through four or five, I felt really good about it. And I was kind of surprised even about myself that I felt pretty, I just felt like, well, you know, at some point they're going to get to this bullpen because they're not all going to come in and be good. And finally, right. Joe Blanton comes in. And it's like,
on cue.
Blanton, I love you. What's your ERA? Like 79. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. And, You know, the funny thing is I wasn't really that nervous too, because as goofy as this sounds, when they got their first run, I thought, you know what, with the way Lester's pitching, I feel pretty good. Like, and he was being fairly efficient, you know, and I was thinking like, man, I could see him going eight. And I think, you know, the pitch count ended up going, you know, what did he end up with, like 105 around in there or something?
Yeah, 105, something like that.
And so, I mean, he wasn't going to be able to go back out there for the ninth, he really put them in a position to do well. And, you know, it's a little bit of a bummer that they ended up giving up three runs there towards the end. But that's what happens when you put, you know, guys like Strope and Chapman in there that are used to going in and having to really, you know, no room for error. And suddenly it's like, oh, yeah, we have a 7-run lead. So,
yeah. And you could tell Chapman just, he wasn't as intense as he usually is in a save.
Oh, situation. Not at all.
And he was, yeah, he was dealing up some sliders and,
yeah, a lot more sliders.
Different some stuff that you don't normally see him do, and well, getting behind in counts. So, yeah, we'll just chalk that one up to...
Well, and in a way, I mean, they might have sent him out there to actually work on, yep, stuff. It was kind of like a spring training game. Like, put him out there and let him work on a few things.
Yeah, and he needed to be in the game. I mean, he hadn't been used since...
Yeah.
He needs to work on his 85-mile-an-hour changeup.
Yeah. Although, I thought, so, like, since we're on the topic of them scoring towards the end, I thought it was hilarious. So, the Dodgers are down 8-1 in the eighth inning. And after a leadoff double, Joe Buck says, and the Dodgers are off to a good start here in the eighth. Come on, man.
Well, then everything after that, they had to, of course, go to Kershaw.
Yeah.
Talk about him ghost pitching.
And his amazing tank top, his amazing Technicolor dream coat tank top.
Yeah. So, I don't really have much else to say. One thing that occurred to me during this game is that when I watch baseball games, I flip my TV off a lot. I throw middle fingers up to my TV like nonstop throughout the game.
I thought you meant like you turn it off. No, wait, no. I flip it off a lot. Like,
oh, I thought that's what you're saying too. Like, you're just like, can't watch.
No, I don't. It just occurred to me, like, something good happens, I flip off the other team. And you know, and then something bad happens, I flip off whoever did something good. I don't know. It just occurred to me tonight. Do you guys like ever, you know, you know, guys don't do that to your TV?
I talk trash though.
Yeah, I swear a lot. Like, if my like my normal swearing during a day is probably around average for a normal American, and you know, during a baseball game, I'm like, I am the dirtiest sailor out there. I'm just glad my kids are in bed, you know.
Huh.
You know, because the F word becomes, you know, adjectives, nouns,
yeah,
adverbs. It becomes all of it. So
yeah, I throw out a lot of F words when I'm watching the game.
Yeah, same thing. Good, bad,
right?
Fudge buckets.
I'm dropping it all. So yeah.
And
I realize my son, I'm not going to repeat which thing he said today, but he said some stuff today, and I was like, oh no, yeah. I wonder where he picked that up. So, Daddy's got to watch the language.
Well. Hey, that's life of being a Cubs fan, a baseball fan, yeah, a sports fan.
Swear, he did say early on something like, that's garbage. He
was watching
it with me.
Yeah.
It was, too. It was, too.
Max says that, too.
Didn't you say that there was a ball hit to the wall and he said that they hit it to the ivy?
Well, that's the funny thing, because we were still listening to the radio because we were just cleaning up after dinner, and Coomer screwed up and said something about that ball's going to go all the way to the ivy. And my son says, that ball went all the way to the MVIV.
Kids are cute.
Coomer thought he was at Wrigley.
Well, speaking of kids, if you're in the Quad Cities and you want to come watch a game with us, and I promise in public I will not flip off the TVs and I will not swear. But if you...
Well, you can't promise that.
Right. But at least two-thirds of us, maybe all three of us, will be at the Market Grill inside the Hy-Vee, the bar restaurant that's inside the Hy-Vee on John Deere Road in Moline. We're going to be there watching the game. So if you're from the Quad Cities area and you want to hang out there or within a reasonable drive and you want to come and hang out, and I mean, I think it would be absolutely incredible if the Cubs won that game and we got to all celebrate as the Cubs went to the World Series. I'll probably hug you. I'm just warning you. And I may cry.
Starts thinking, whoop, there it is.
I might. If Javi hits a home run, I guarantee you that I will do that. But I'll keep my middle fingers in their holster.
No double birds on the bat.
No. So anyways, I guess as we kind of look towards game six, here's one of my other takeaways from where we are right now in this series is that the Cubs just took 2 of 3 at Dodger Stadium. And if you would have told me a few days ago that that's what happened, I don't know. I guess it was definitely a possibility, but when the offense just wasn't there, it was kind of hard to envision that happening. And you were just kind of hoping they could take one and get it back to Wrigley. But I think winning tonight was huge, and I think they're in good shape. So, you guys want to say anything about Game Six, kind of in previewing it, or any predictions?
I almost don't
want
to go there just because, you know, let's just keep the the optimism of this game. And
yeah, I actually think that the Cubs can get to Kershaw one way or another, and it could be capitalizing on Dodger mistakes and scratching out runs. It could actually, you know, I think it could also be just continuing what they've done here in the last two games. And I think the key is to get into that bullpen, but I think the Cubs win it. And I think maybe like 4-1.
Yeah. I mean, they managed to win when they weren't firing on all cylinders, even sometimes when they were firing on no cylinders. And now the offense has, a lot of momentum. So, as long as Kyle can go in there and have a pretty good game, I think they'll win.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
You don't want to make a prediction, Kurt?
Yeah, I will. I mean, I think it's going to be a close game, and I don't want to predict a one-run game, even though I think it'll be really close to that. So I'll go 3-1. Cubs win. Even though, I mean, I think it's going to be tight, and it's going to be nerve-wracking. But when they pull it off, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I really want to see a strong outing from Hendricks. It would be great to be able to see him go a little bit deeper. But at the same time, I feel like the bullpen's in pretty good shape. And I think, you know, especially some of those bullpen arms have been really effective. So I think even if he isn't able to go real deep, I'm still real confident in what the Cubs are going to put out there. And to be honest, I just
day off tomorrow too,
right? Day off. And to be honest, I think from what we've seen in this series, the Cubs are the better team. And I think that, even though the pitching matchup probably, well, it does favor the Dodgers, I still think the Cubs are the better team. And so I think they're going to get it done.
Yeah.
Right on.
So we've got a little bit under 100 people watching live right now. If you're watching live and you want to, weigh in on the game that you saw tonight or any predictions that you have for Game 6 Saturday night, go ahead and call our voicemail line right now. I'll include the messages after the music ends here tonight on this episode. And the phone number is 309-517-0624. And I'm really enjoying the voicemail that everybody's leaving, and I like including that at the end and hearing all of your reactions to everything too. So anything else you guys want to say before we wrap this thing up?
I don't think so. I need to take a nap tomorrow at some point.
Yeah, no kidding.
After work, I guess.
Physically and mentally and emotionally draining week. Yeah, I told Tani, I was like, man, I can handle these, like, you know, in like the stretch of two games, you know, that we saw in the NLDS and the first two games with some breaks and stuff. But I said this, like, three game series, you know, middle part of this series is kind of kicked my butt. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah,
at least we have a weekend coming up. That's good.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. And hopefully a lot of celebrating. So yeah, thank you for listening to this episode. It was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. If you like what we do here, if you like these post-game shows that we're doing and all the extra episodes, you can help support the show on Patreon. It's how we pay for the extra bandwidth and storage space that we need to do these episodes. And it's how we do live events and really everything in it, that we do throughout the year. And everything that we've made through Patreon has gone right back into IVMV, and it's allowed us to do a lot of things to kind of improve things along the way. So, if you would, be interested in supporting the podcast, and you can do it for as little as a dollar a month, go to patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. And, we'll see some of you on Saturday night, down at the Market Grill in Hy-Vee on John Deere Road in Moline. And I can't wait. I think it's going to be a blast. And I don't know, we probably won't do a post game show that night. So I guess,
although if they win it, we may figure something out. Let's not count it out entirely, but
yeah, it won't be a live broadcast.
We'll see. It'll be difficult, but maybe we'll try.
I kind of thought about like taking Michael's PA that I haven't returned to him yet, taking it down there and you know, like setting it up real quick if we want to. Or I mean, I could take my digital recorder thing and we could just like plop it in a table and record something quick. But no matter what we do, it will not be a live broadcast. So, but you may have an episode Sunday morning for you. We'll just have to see how it all plays out. So
might be middle fingers and F words.
That's right.
It'll be fun.
And celebratory middle fingers. Yeah, exactly. And
keep in mind, those are both good and bad.
Right. So thank you for listening, and until the next episode, go Cubs. Let's get game six.
Go Cubs. I really just liked everything about Anthony Rizzo, his hug with Bryant and whoever the coach was after he hit that home run, just kind of a relief hug. I definitely think that the Cubs, they broke the seal, the offensive seal, and they're really just going to take the Dodgers by storm. I love your guys' podcast. I like that it's often. To hear what you guys think about these things. Tonight, I think we're going to do it maybe 5-2, 7-3, something like that. I just think the offense is going to be rolling. We're just going to, like Mickey said, just take what they give you and make it happen. Go Cubs!
Hey guys, this is Sam and Raleigh. We're heading to the bottom of the ninth right now with a 6-run lead. Joining a Heineken, and just want to ask Kurt, can I flip your meat? Go Cubs.
Hey, shout out to Matt Caesar, a stand-up dude, and he's probably going to be a Cubs trivia question in 100 years about his baseball bats. Go Cubs.
Hey guys, this is Sam from Louisiana. I'm calling here in between the bottom, between the top and bottom of the ninth inning here of the last game at Dodger Stadium of the year. Guys, I don't know what it is about game fives in NLCS, but I'm feeling really good. Man, the Cubs are just hitting so well. I'm on Twitter a lot during these games, and I just can't believe the negativity still from Cubs fans, even when we're winning by more than 5 runs. Yeah, sure, Hayward has been bad. We get that. But, man, lay off the guy. Enjoy this moment. Enjoy what we're seeing right now. This Cubs team is the best Cubs team since 1908, hands down. And people are going to piss it away and just whine and complain. Enjoy it, guys. John Lester, amazing. Look great. I'm loving it. I feel confident in Hendricks. Saturday night, Wrigley Field, baby. I'm driving up 13 hours. We'll see you guys Saturday night. Go Cubs.